are Vic Fellowship, and Vic stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to, commercial-free, and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Our guest today is a former New Jersey resident, and we will be discussing the bills that are currently being lobbied by the drug companies to mandate every child and every adult to be fully vaccinated. It's currently going on as we speak. She is anointed as a massage therapist, as well as studying herbs for their therapeutic value for over 20 years. Welcome to our show, Miriam, and thank you for sharing the chaos happening in New Jersey.
Thank you for allowing me to have a voice for this unfortunate chaos, which has not just hit New Jersey, but as we are well aware of, in California, New York, and Florida. But this is an article from Vaxxer News, and being former New Jersey resident, as stated earlier. There we have the mandate S2173, which I'm not sure for now because of the time difference, it's a possibility that it's already been passed. Of repealing the religious exemption. I mean, actually, Democratic legislatures, you know, in New Jersey, they've actually injected a state with totalitarian legislation dictating that no student from preschool through college will be able to access education without being completely up to date on the CDC vaccine schedule. I mean, to me, it's incredulous that they would even be doing such a thing that actually affecting a child if they actually want an education, even a higher education, because of this. And it's amazing how in New Jersey they've only seen 19 measles cases this year. And these are actually fewer cases than in New York, California, and yet the legislature, they appear intent on enforcing this, and this is one of the strictest mandatory vaccination bills Americans have seen yet.
Unbelievable. And I believe, as she said, audience, we are in Texas right now, so we're on an hour behind Eastern time, but I believe it was 1 o'clock Eastern time, New Jersey, correct, Miriam?
That is correct, yes.
So it's going on as we're basically, hold on, I'm really bad with time. But anyway, it's today for sure. We know that. So go ahead. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Yes, because it's only an hour difference. And, you know, last Thursday, the Senate Human Services and Senior Citizens Committee passed S2173 out of committee with a 5-4 vote. So it wasn't even like the legislators, the people were there to be able to say, well, wait a minute, hold on, what are you doing here? And yet droves of New Jerseyans actually went to the State House to protest the decision, you know, insisting that, you know, it's intruding on their First Amendment rights. And many got to the building. However, the building was closed, quote-unquote, to comply with the fire code. And it's terrible because even the media won't allow the parental voices to be heard. I mean, there were actually 1,600 who came to give testimonies, and they only heard 14. And Senator
Unbelievable.
Sweeney,
and also, yeah, just to make amazing. Also, real fast, let me say about the email that Sayre G came out. He researched, he found out that 34,000 emails have been sent by constituents to the legislators just yesterday, just up till yesterday, because the bill was being passed today or going under vote today. So 34,000 emails, and this is including the ones going to the mayor or whatever. Anyway, keep talking. You know more about this than me.
Yes. And, you know, as I was stating that, you know, unfortunately, you know, 1,600 people came, but they only allowed 14 voices to be heard. And then Senator Sweeney replaced three senators who are permanent members of the Health Committee with three Democratic members who said they would vote in favor of the bill. Now, this is where it is, where they were supposed to meet at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And actually, that was noon our time. So it's a possibility that they've already signed this mandate into law. S2173, which completely removes the religious exemption from state law, and it also restricts the abilities for doctors to freely provide medical exemption to their parents.
And we will be continuing this next Monday as well, so we'll know the outcome and be discussing it in more detail next week for sure.
Yeah, and it's, as I said, you can't make a mistake about this, because this is a massive outreach of authority into the lives of New Jersey citizens, a carefully plotted attack against constitutional rights. I mean, that's, you right. know, and then above and beyond that, originally, you know, this S2173 mandate, it gave no grace period for parents to get their kids caught up on vaccines before returning to school after the holiday season. They actually had an amendment that has since been added that would allow only 180 days for all the catch-up shots, as I put it in quotes. And unfortunately, that's really not a lot of time for a child who's never been vaccinated or even hasn't received shots in years before the school begins in fall of 2020. And then, you know, all these students, you know, supposedly they have to be up to date. These students must be up to date, and they're not even going to be permitted to attend any public or private school in the state without a medical exemption from an approved physician. And I'm wondering, well, who are the approved physicians? Who decides which medical doctor can say who does or does not receive vaccines?
That's right. It's such a conflict of interest. And for the audience that's not aware of Healthy 2020, I know I've been talking about this on several shows and to many people. Their goal, I think, by next October, for sure this year coming up, their goal is to have every child and every adult fully vaccinated. And like Miriam said, they've already passed bills in California. They started off, then New York, then Florida, now New Jersey, and then on and on and on. It's going to trickle through every state with this Healthy 2020. And you can find this information on the hhs.gov website I'm looking at. And the National Immunization Plan, NAIP, provides an overview of actions that need to be undertaken by federal and non-federal partners to protect public health and achieve optimal prevention of infectious diseases and their consequences through vaccination of adults. So it is totally, you know, totally their agenda. And that's exactly what Miriam's, you know, warning everybody about. So continue, sweetheart.
And it's interesting how they have like this little caveat in the bill that says this bill does not completely remove a medical exemption, but it would tighten up the ability to ever get one. So in a sense, you're almost like between a rock and a hard place. So it's like, are you saying that not all medical exemptions will be here, or it's like, can we actually get a medical exemption? Exactly what does that entail? So it doesn't even clear that up.
First of all, it's impossible to get. I mean, for a medical doctor to jeopardize their license, their all the years they put into medical school, which, of course, we all know is funded by the drug companies. Their textbooks are written by the drug companies. So for them to write an exemption for someone, even if they already have a previous injury, they're jeopardizing their license and even their life. I mean, a doctor, you know, we're just mothers, we're just parents and people who are aware. We're not, you know, a medical doctor, and they're gonna do everything in their power to stop these medical doctors as the so-called credible people to the misinformed masses. They're going to threaten them and threaten their license and everything. And like I said, even possibly their life if they give these exemptions. So a medical exemption has always been difficult to get, always.
Yeah, and it's interesting how this statement that they state here saying that some legislatures agree with the removal of the religious exemption if and only if the rules for medical exemptions are widened considerably. So the doctor has the right to discern who qualifies for a medical exception without any interference from the state. Now, what exactly are you saying? Are you saying that, you know, that the legislature, fine, they believe in the religious exemption, however, but that you have medical exceptions here that are widening considerably? What do you mean by widening considerably? And what do you mean the doctor has the right to discern? So does the doctor, it's like, do they or do they not have the right to do so?
They're
I don't know if it was just
authority.
You, but that sounded, but I don't know if, to me, that sounded sort of contradictory. There's some contradiction or some conflict going on here with this.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of rights. Even with Corey and Faith, my own two children, with Casey's injury and death from the vaccinations, they both have religious exemptions through school. And then my son, because he was 20 months old when Casey passed away, I was able to get a medical exemption for him, but it was just because his sister passed from them. It was that serious of a situation to even allow me the possibility of getting a medical exemption. So I know how difficult over the last 20 years that exemption's been, access that exemption, because of course the religious and the philosophical or consensus exemption, which is just writing a note saying you don't believe in them, about 20 states, it's always been in here in the U.S. for the last 20 years. But the religious exemption, I've been teaching for 20 years now, is the easiest way to avoid them, by just going to the health department. But now these four states are no longer, they're targeting, no longer allowing even religious exemptions. So it's just, it's insane how they're going to, they're going to pressure us to get an exemption from a medical doctor when it's always been next to impossible to get. And then they're probably going to even have to approve the medical doctor's authorization and specific vaccines. It won't be like no vaccines. It'll be okay, not the MMR vaccine, for instance. If they even are able to give a medical exemption, it might just be for one particular shot. That's what they've done over the years.
It's incredible. It's like I say, sometimes I say it, all this double talk that they come up with half the time. Because mm-hmm. even this particular bill has a companion bill, A31A. And they proposed mm-hmm. that one last year, which also calls for removal of the religious exemption. So not only did they have the S2173 that, as I said, they voted on today most likely, and as we won't know till later, and next week we'll finish that up, but they also have this companion bill, almost like a backup to make sure that, the removal of the religious exemption is there. And it's talk about then a backup to a backup. They actually have another mandate, A1991, called the meningitis vaccine mandate. Mm. Now, it essentially not only was the 3818, but the A1991 mandate essentially backs up the mandate of S2713 and A318. So it's almost as if they're covering every base to make sure it makes it almost impossible that it could even be possible to have a religious exemption, period.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what it appears to me, having three different mandates. I mean, why so many for mm-hmm. one particular
exemption?
They're
going to make sure, their agenda is accomplished.
And it's like I said, it's like in New Jersey, and we call that overkill.
Wow. They don't know who they're messing with, do they?
Obviously not.
I know your spirit, girlfriend.
Obviously not. We know how we are, at least as I say in our space, when it comes to speaking our voices, generally we're not ashamed to say what we think.
Yeah. And then for 35,000 to have already emailed the congressman, I mean, that says a lot, that 35,000 people have stepped up. I think in the other states that they've already, rampaged through, California, Florida, and New York, I don't believe it was as much aggression. I don't remember seeing these numbers as far as quantities. So there's a bunch of upset New Jerseyans, sounds like.
You got it. Here you have 35,000 emails. And I'm wondering, have these legislatures or even the governor mm-hmm. taken a look at these emails?
Yeah, probably
not. It's like, have
not.
They really even paid attention to the voice of the people?
They don't.
Exactly. And because of this A1991, it's like I said, unfortunately now it's even going to start targeting our college students, because they have to have a meningitis B vaccine for the students who are living on campus and attending four-year colleges. And if the latter two don't get through the assembly, as far as S2713 and A3813, well, they'll mm-hmm. have the backup of A1991. Which has a provision to catch up the college students with all the mandated shots. So it's not like they're just going after these children. As I said, it's unfortunate, babies and children in grammar school and then children in high school. Now it's even college students. It's like, when will this end?
It's not gonna, not with their agenda of healthy 2020, unfortunately. And you mentioned to me too that it's even for adults as well. Aren't they targeting healthcare workers, like not even letting them wear a mask or whatever we were reading earlier?
Yes. Oh, it's like I said, it's just the beginning, because the thing is, I'm like, you're mandating all these things. They don't even know how they're going to pay for it. How are they going to pay for all these things? It comes with a dollar sign, and who's going to pay for all these mandates? Who's going to pay for all these vaccines that have to be issued? Who's going to issue them? Who's going to pay them? I mean, there are so many factors, no?
Yeah.
Here. And it's like I said, and then they also do have adult vaccine mandates. Also, how it says here, under the S2173. And that's going into uncharted territory. You know, as I said, where no mandate bill has gone before. With the colleges, you know, especially the four-year colleges they're talking about. And it's like I said, like you said, adults. What happens to adults who want to go back to school later in life? How about senior citizens? What if people who just want to take an art class or learn, you know, photography? Like I said, are they going to be forced to have all required, you know, vaccinations to participate? You know, and what it is, it's part of enforcing the adult vaccination plan. That's what we had. It was released in 2015. And as you stated earlier, it's part of the Healthy 2020 initiative. That's the whole point, that it's so insidious, you know, because it's like how clever, and I was in, and you know, how well they just decided that, okay, now that we have, you know, we've taken care of the children just in case there's an outbreak or whatever. And to think that it's like I said, here in New Jersey, we had the smallest outbreak. Smaller than California and the other two states. So it's like, why is it so important?
Yeah.
Obviously, it couldn't be that great an epidemic or a threat if, you know, if we have fewer than New York and California. And I don't know of any, I don't know, perhaps you may know of any measles particular threats in California, you know.
It's not even a deadly disease. I showed in my presentation how these diseases were coming down because of better sanitation and nutrition. I mean, the vaccines had nothing to do with eradicating the measles vaccine or the measles virus. And most of our parents even had it. It's permanent lifetime immunity when you know, that's why our creator allows these non-deadly diseases. If you have a strong, you know, Yah-given immune system, you have, once you defeat that virus, measles, as a child, you have permanent immunity to it. With a vaccine, you have to get boosters, and you have to, it's artificial, and it's made through the aborted fetal tissue, and I mean, it's just absolutely insane what we're letting them get away with. Absolutely insane.
It's just interesting that you should say that, because I myself had measles and mumps and chickenpox as a little child.
That's right.
And I can, I can actually say I'm relatively healthy. I haven't infected other people. There isn't anyone that I know of to date that I have come in contact that has ever gotten any of these diseases because I had them at one time as a baby or a child.
That's right. And that's why your immune system's so strong too, because again, it strengthens our immune system for adulthood and survival, these diseases. So I want my children, my unvaccinated children, I would love for them to get exposed to these diseases before they get, you know, they're adults already, but they're like older adults or young adults now. So I mean, it's just, you want, I'm so happy that you are exposed to the actual virus, because that's the way our creator intended it to be. That's the way he intended these non-deadly diseases to be exposed to our immune systems.
Yes. And myself as a believer, I believe that wholeheartedly, or as I said, I wouldn't even be speaking to you right now if it was such a threat.
That's right. That's right.
So many people who I've come in contact with. And unfortunately, you know, what's sad is that people don't seem to act unless it actually happens to them. Because it's unfortunate that sometimes I hear so many voices saying, well, it hasn't happened to me, or it hasn't happened to my family, or my child was never affected in that way, or my child didn't have any adverse reactions, when there we know that there are, I mean, I don't know if you may be able to say it, but I would like to say like hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions of children that have been hurt by these vaccines, that have permanent, you know, consequences of disabilities because of them.
Or just the health of them. Then this is what Joy Garner with the controlgroup.org is doing. Everybody that knows anybody that has unvaccinated children and or adults need to go fill out the survey, because what she's doing, no one's ever did before in over 20 years, and that's showing the health of unvaccinated people of less than 1% compared to, like, 50-some percent in the national average for people that are fully vaccinated. So, I mean, that's hands down proving that the vaccines don't, you know, fight diseases here.
There you go.
I know, sometimes it seems, and then, like I said yesterday in the presentation, it's like, Mm-hmm. They say that my unvaccinated children put their children at risk, which doesn't even make sense. They're telling you we don't believe our vaccines work, so your unvaccinated children are going to risk my vaccinated child. I mean, that's how oxymoronic it is. It's a joke.
Oh, that's the perfect word for it, oxymoron, because that's exactly what it is. I mean, you
know, people, they are bringing this down the wall. Their goal is healthy 2020. We've been saying it for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. Their goal number one, I'm looking at the HHS.gov website right now. Number one goal, strengthen the adult immunization infrastructure. Goal number two, improve access to adult vaccines. Goal number three, increase community demand for adult immunizations. And goal four, foster innovation in adult vaccine development and vaccination-related technologies. And they have a whole book and everything on this crap.
And there you go. And I always say, if this is... Go ahead, yeah.
No, go ahead, you. You also say what?
Okay, so I said, and if this is so, I mean... I always say, where are the studies that prove that these vaccines are safe? Where are the prove that precisely?
That's in over 30 years, no studies. We have the science. They do not. Even a Supreme Court ruling I have in the presentation, they literally ruled that vaccines were unavoidably unsafe, inherently dangerous. They said in the Supreme Court hearing, that it's actually court reported as those words, unavoidably unsafe and inherently dangerous. And nobody's heard about it. You don't see that on, 6 o'clock news.
There you go.
All right. It should be.
Of course. I mean, it's interesting how there used to be years ago when they always used to say about having an informed citizenry. And sometimes I wonder if people truly are informing themselves anymore of what that means. Mm-hmm. That they are the ones who control, or they are the ones who have the given inalienable rights under our Constitution to decide what their legislators legislate, what laws they pass. The citizens are supposed to be aware of what they're doing, because they're supposed to be representing their voice. They're not representing their voice, unfortunately, any longer, if people are actually paying attention to what's going on. And this is what baffles me sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, what's going on?
And that's why they do these agendas during, busy times like now with the pagan holidays. People are busy having parties and eating sugar and making themselves sick and hopefully come to us to fix them eventually. But anyway, they do it during these times when nobody's paying attention. That's when they do it.
Yes, they're very clever because they always make sure there's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a distraction going on or distractions going on, they're not paying attention to what's going on, I always say, underneath their own nose. And then by the time they catch up to what is going on, it's too late. Because then how are you supposed to reverse this legislation?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like you were speaking of a healthy 2020. This idea that we had about the vaccination plan, it ties right into the plan that they have for all the states. Like you're stating, not just one state, mm-hmm. but for all the states to have their citizens to be what they call real ID complaint by October 2020. Vaccine risk aware committees have warned about this for years. Like you said, happening in real time. People aren't even mm-hmm. seeing it. It's right before their eyes. And interesting how they would do this just in time for the election year.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it's true. What lies ahead is anyone's guess. We have no idea, what exactly they're going to do at this point, because we already know the mandates are there. And unfortunately, as I said, with New Jersey, who knows what's occurred, but we will know soon. And now they even have other mandates, one being S1003. Now, this requires healthcare workers to get a flu vaccine shot as a condition to their employment.
Mm.
And there's no option to allow those employees to opt out and wear a mask. Mm. Okay, now healthcare workers, what are they supposed to? I mean, it's like, what are you going to do now?
They're going to have to either get the vaccine or lose their job.
Precisely. I mean, they have another mandate. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, I don't know if we're the only state that has so many mandates upon mandate upon mandate to make sure that the particular mandate you just passed, they have the formal one to make sure that if the present one doesn't pass, the previous one piggybacks the present one. I said, I don't know if we're the only state who does this, because it seems that we do these things so often. But, I mean, you know, and then they can't, there's another mandate where it's A1576. It also requires flu vaccine for specific healthcare workers, not just healthcare workers, but specified. So is that all the healthcare workers from the previous mandate of S1003 or specific health workers of the mandate A1576 as well? I mean, it's almost like, why do you have these two mandates when it seems to state that they're one and the same?
Mm-hmm.
You're going from general to specific. Really, it all sounds the same to me. Perhaps, like I said, somebody can enlighten me about that, but to me, it seems the same.
Yeah. Unbelievable. You know. I don't recall so many bills simultaneously going under review, because I know with California, it was SB 277 and then 276 to include the medical. And then I know they introduced S-64, I think it was in Florida and a couple of others in New York. But I don't recall it being so many that you're reading off. I mean, all the different bills that they're trying to pass simultaneously.
Precisely. As I said, it's almost like a caveat to the caveat to the caveat, just to be sure that we have all our bases covered, just in case, as I said, one does not slip through. Perhaps we can get the other one to slip through, and perhaps the other one may back up that one that did slip through or didn't slip through. I mean, if you ask me, to me, that seems a little bit even chaotic.
It's extremely chaotic, and unfortunately, they get threatened. It's like Governor Brown in California. That was the first state they started off mandating all private and public schools, you know, mandating vaccines for all children. And they, Governor Brown had 2 weeks to sign the bill, and he signed it within 2 days.
Wow.
No hesitation whatsoever. And that's what they, you know, when the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the ones that own the drug companies, when they want to accomplish something, there's, you know, nothing next to Yahuwah, to our creator, that can stop them.
Mm-hmm. And then and, to include, yeah. So like I said, and then to include another one, another bill, like I said, it's exhaustive with New Jersey. They just go around. They could keep you running around in circles if you just don't write things word for word sometimes just to keep up with what they're doing. But it's sad. But the thing is, I believe that it's worth taking the time out to find out what they're actually doing. Because it's not just, as I said, particular families. Eventually, everyone gets hurt here. Everyone is affected here at one point or another. And to believe that you're not going to be affected, to me, is like sticking your head in the sand and pretending that nothing's happening.
That's right. And then when they come knocking on your door with a needle, what you going to do then?
Exactly.
Because that's what it's going to get to. It's going to get to the point where martial law is going to be called. And, you know, they're going to have to take our guns away. There's no way they're going to be able to accomplish this mandate all over the country or the world for that matter without taking the guns away, because there's too many people that will, you know, will fight for their life on this issue. Too many people have woken up to the injury of their loved one and will die for the issue. So it's going to get nasty.
Well, like I said, that's how this country began to begin with. People deciding that they had a right to have liberty and life in pursuit of happiness.
That's right.
And as I said, and if it wasn't bad enough, as I said, with the healthcare workers, here's another mandate.
Oh, goodness.
And this one's exactly. It's incredible what they do in those
things. It is.
And if I believe the governor is still Governor Murphy, so that's where eventually it's going to end up on his desk. Who knows what's going to happen there. But this one is for pharmaceutical workers. And this one is S-754. It's lying in wait. It's been lying in wait since last year. And it would expand the authority given to pharmacists and other pharmacy employers to administer certain vaccines.
Oh, gosh.
To think now that the pharmacists and the employees, so it's not like just the pharmacists who get their education, who are aware of what these different vaccines are and the drugs that go with it. I mean, okay, it's bad enough. At least they know about the drugs and the different applications and all that. But to an employee, to administer, you know, just the other employees in the pharmacy that they can administer certain vaccines. I mean, that is so ludicrous. I mean, I just don't understand that at all. I mean, it behooves me, really, to, I mean, honestly, that you can give these rights and authority to people you don't even know, and they can decide for you what you can or can't do based on what the state says, that which particular mandate that they have put into law and you're supposed to implement. I mean,
this world's
going
crazy.
Yeah. And then there's just two more of that I just have quoted here. I'm like, who knows where this will end. Another one is S634 and another one called A3587. And these are targeting the formation of a healthcare industry representative certification act. And this would dictate stricter vaccination policies and tighten the option for exemptions for healthcare representatives, such as vendors who visit hospitals for in-services or clinical education seminars. I mean, it's like I said, this state, which, as I said, I have all my life, I've always known of all the legislative bodies that we have and all the laws and mandates that they always come up with, one to back up, piggyback on something else to cover the other to make sure that they're covered. It's like I said, it's just astounding. But, you know, sometimes, as I say, we can't allow these things for us to give up on it. We just have to continue to fight. You can't stop fighting just because somebody may make you want to have to go back and forth with them to see who's going to have the stamina to eventually, as I say, put up the white flag. Well, this one is not going to put up the white flag because I will continue the stamina, as I say, continue to do these things till my last breath. And that's how,
right.
You know, I feel.
That's right.
You know, and, you know.
And I was going to also mention the bill last year that was stalled, A1847, that was requiring the HPV, the cervical cancer vaccine for all girls and, of course, boys that have a cervix now. Did you know?
It's amazing.
Insane.
I mean, all these years, I couldn't understand this. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute. The last time I know when I was studying anatomy, and it doesn't matter, I said it really doesn't change.
Right.
It hasn't changed since then.
Yeah, but people standing up and being a voice for these voiceless. This bill was stalled last year, and it was basically for all students from 6th to 12th grade, mandating them to get that HPV vaccine. So people like you, Miriam, standing up and being a voice is preventing, you know, can stall, maybe not prevent completely because of the agenda they have, the Healthy 2020, that they're going all out campaigning. But at least stall things like that Gardasil vaccine last year, or that Gardasil bill.
Yeah, and it's like I said, if someone can, as I said, could come up with the logic to me as to why a boy would even have these vaccines, it's beyond me. I don't understand how people don't even stop to think. You know, anatomy, as far as anatomy goes, boys and girls are not built the same. They don't have the same internal organs as far as reproductive
exactly.
organs.
And they're not even at risk for sexual activity, of course, that young. I mean, it's as crazy as all the vaccines. I mean, all of them are just insane. I mean, we know that they belong in the garbage can. We teach it ever since last May. We've had this radio station. Almost every single show has made it very clear that we're not kind of sort of pro-vaccine or kind of sort of, you know, we're not weary at all. We're very much anti-vaccine. And we work for our creator, who, of course, was defeated by defeated the enemy by the blood. By his blood, our Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, also known as Jesus. And, you know, Yahushua defeated the enemy by the blood. So, of course, the enemy is coming after our blood. And I mean, mandating Healthy 2020, I mean, right there is just the, you know, nothing like this has ever happened in all the years I've been. Casey passed in 1999. I have never had any type of Dracarian type of bills come across the board to be passed. And by no means an agenda to have every child and adult vaccinated by next year. And most of the people out there, Miriam, don't even know about this.
That's the sad part of it all. That's the sad part of it all, that people are not aware of what's going on, not realizing that in order to even have a life that you would appreciate calling your life, that you know, governmental entities could come in and start dictating to you. It's supposed to be the land of the free and home of the brave. I mean, and yet we have legislators and politicians literally that are going to tell you about whether, you know, how you can maintain your health and what you should do to maintain your health. And somehow they're going to tell me that all these drugs, they can prove to me that no drug has zero adverse effect. Fine. Hey, I'll back up. And it's like, no problem. But find me anywhere where one drug does not have an adverse effect. And even as I state, I do believe in emergency cases, of course, go to the hospital, get things done that have to be done to taken care of. But after that, take care of yourself. You don't need a drug to maintain your health for the rest of your life. And a poor little child that has a beautiful, perfect immune system once they come into this life, what are they at risk for? They have a beautiful body that comes in here that's healthy, has no problems with it whatsoever. Mother's milk, which is the best immunization you could possibly give to your child.
That's right.
Gives them
that's our creators.
All they
that's
need.
Right.
And now, that's before they even have an immune system, you're injecting, bypassing their poor little mouth, nose, where everything comes in.
That's right.
And going right to their blood and compromising an immune system that hasn't even been developed yet.
That's right. And we even covered this, I think, on one of the shows, or maybe not, but a nurse has already came out, an ICU, a NICU nurse, one that's for the, you know, the babies that are premature, they're born premature at the hospital. Nurse came public that they have a resuscitation table that's brought into the room because of all the babies that stop breathing after giving the hepatitis B vaccination to these newborn babies, which they're zero risk for because it's only a bloodborne pathogen through IV drug use, sexual activity, and blood transfusion. So why are they giving it? And if it wasn't all the agenda from them is sickness incorporated, Miriam. I mean, it keeps us going back to the pediatrician, going back to the doctors, getting more drugs, getting more vaccines, the medical merry-go-round. It's all about the root of all evil, the love of money. That is so transparent. I just wish everybody could see how clear it is.
Well, as they say, follow the money trail.
That's right.
I always say if there was no incentive in all these vaccinations, if there was no incentive, they would make zero to no money on this campaign, why do they continue it? If somebody can prove to me that this is all altruistic, that they're doing this from the kindness of their heart because they really care about society and what ills may come about them, and so therefore let's give vaccines for anything and everything that comes down the pipeline. I'm like, follow the money trail. I'm like, who is the one that is making all this money?
Exactly. The Rothschilds or Rockefellers. The Rothschilds are worth $1.21 quadrillion, whatever that word is. $1.21 quadrillion dollars. That's who's making the money. And it's got to be stopped. And I pray for mercy, Miriam. I really do, because this battle's way too big for us. And I just can't wait to see, you know, the end result.
Oh, sure. I understand that completely. Because it's, like I said, it's certainly, I mean, parents and people who, you know, have injured children have not been making anything out of this other than they're fighting for the life of their
loved one. I mean, so many people are fighting for their loved one, whether it's their child, whether it's their grandmother, whether it's their, I mean, these vaccines are, you know, the underlying cause, as we make very clear in our presentation, the underlying cause of compromising the immune system and weakening the immune system is the blood poisoning, bypassing our creator's defenses, fever, vomiting, diarrhea, straight to the bloodstream, injecting mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, antifreeze, nagalase that shuts down the immune system, glyphosate, which is Roundup. Dr. Suzanne Humphreys informed me that there's E. coli, which is poo, in the new pneumococcal vaccine they're giving two-month-old babies. The blood of animals, and this is something nobody knows, they use kidneys of monkeys to make the polio vaccine. They weaken the disease, the polio disease, in the kidneys, the monkeys' kidneys, about 50 times. They do what's called serial passage, and then they extract that live virus from that live monkey. Or with the DPT vaccine, the jugular of a horse, or the aborted fetal tissue with the MMR. And they're bypassing, again, father's defenses, the fever, vomiting, diarrhea, straight to the bloodstream. So the bloodstream's on immune, you know, on a red alert. The immune system's on red alert. It has to fight the poison first. And, exactly. and then of course, build immunity, naturally only. The only way that you can strengthen a child's immune system, as we mentioned before, is like you get the chicken pox and you have permanent immunity. Lifetime immunity. And we have to get back to basics here. And I see the agenda of the enemy. And, you know, fear is not in our vocabulary. Fear is not at all in our vocabulary. We will be speaking for the innocent victims to the day we take our last breath. And that's not going to happen until our Creator decides to let that happen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree with that 1,000%. Because truth is... it's even been proven in older articles where it states the reason that people were affected, quote unquote, in the past with some of these things was because people weren't bathing. They didn't have a clean environment. They didn't have clean water. So what's going to happen in environments of that nature? Of course, there's disease that breeds. Now, the minute people started cleaning their environments, bathing, the water was cleaner. All these things were no longer there.
That's
diseases
right.
That used to be there just, quote unquote, disappeared. No, they weren't breeding because of the conditions and the environment in which you're in. This is what people don't seem to forget. I don't know if they understand or they just seem to forget.
Well, it's just been a long, long campaign from the drug companies all the way back to Louis Pasteur saying that germs cause disease, when everybody knows, or anybody that knows anything about truth with vaccinations knows, that Antoine Bichamp proved to Louis Pasteur in a Petri dish that it's not that germs cause the disease, it's the inner condition of you upon exposure to the disease. And Louis even admitted to Antoine that he was right. It's the cellular terrain. Meanwhile, the Rothschilds, the drug companies, they saw dollar signs, the root of all evil, the love of money, they saw dollar signs behind the germs causing disease. That's when penicillin came out. That's when the first vaccination came out. I mean, it's just nobody knows this stuff. And this is why, you know, our presentation is so important. We did one yesterday, and we are encouraging anyone that wants to help us get this truth out to schedule a presentation, give us a call. 800-939-8227 and schedule a presentation. We'll send you a flyer and we'll come out and we'll do the message. We'll actually, you promote it, and we come and provide all this wisdom that I've experienced through the death of my baby girl, of course, because I was as ignorant as everybody out there. Told her dad I'd never be a negligent mother and not vaccinate my child. So we're all victims until we learn. But we have to provide all the information because the pediatricians don't even know what's in a vaccine. So you can't go to them. The drug companies prevent them from even knowing. And they misteach them. I mean, it's because of better sanitation and nutrition way before the introductions of vaccination, these diseases were coming down. And I was even told at one of my presentations, I've said this before, that a nurse was in my presentation and she got up and pointed to the chart that I had for polio when Salk and Sabin introduced their vaccines. And she said, they show the same chart, but only where the vaccines introduced down. So they're basically teaching these doctors lies is what they're doing. They're making these doctors think that the vaccines eradicated this deadly disease, and they wait for it to almost eradicate like chickenpox. They probably had a chickenpox vaccine for probably 10 years now. I'm guesstimating, but I wouldn't doubt it. And they had to wait for the epidemic, the natural epidemic that our creator gave us to strengthen our immune system for adulthood and survival. They wait till it goes away naturally and then starts declining naturally. And then they introduce a vaccine and then claim, you see how they're getting away with it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that's all over the news stations that they fund, obviously. You won't see me on Oprah Winfrey.
Okay. No, not likely to happen for either one.
Exactly. Nobody's speaking truth gets on national television or even any type of public. I'm not even sure how many people are listening to our show right now, you know, but it doesn't matter because we have copies and we'll be passing them out. When the crap hits the fan, they start knocking on our doors to force us to vaccinate. We'll be passing out CDs to everybody. Hello.
Mm-hmm. And it's sad because sometimes, you know, some parents are going to be able to homeschool. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, that's a good thing. But unfortunately, that's not the case for many. Mm-hmm. People have to work, you know, and unfortunately, they have to put their children into preschool or, you know, in order for them to continue.
And that's not even going to last anyway, because if in their healthy 2020 agenda, they're going to come after the homeschoolers, too. I mean, if they're planning on vaccinating every adult and every child by next year, that includes homeschoolers, that includes me and you, that includes every single person. I mean, it's gonna get nasty, and that's why people need to wake up and fight.
Yeah, because another interesting thing that it's true. What's gonna happen when you have a number of parents who will start pulling their children out of the public school system and out of the private school system? What's gonna happen to their funding? That's going to start hitting, as I said, it's going to start hitting them in the pocket now. How are they going to, what are they going to do when they're in that particular position? Because you can't force somebody to make them go to school as far as in the public system or the private school system.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's like, I always say, who really owns your children? It's exactly. Like, you have rights to your children, or does the government have rights to your children now?
That's right. I've learned that even since, our birth certificate, Social Security card, they own us, unfortunately. And I don't even know how we can get out of it. But all I know, again, this battle's way too big for us. And when he's with you, who can be against you? Hallelujah is all I have to say. But anyone that wants to get this information to see what their agenda is on Healthy 2020, go to hhsgov.gov, hhshorsehorsesam.gov. And you can actually download their plan. It's a PDF, and then you can also download Pathway to Implementation. They have two different books on that website of what their agenda is. And so if people think that I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, because I've been telling them this for the past couple of years, now here it is, people. Here is the Healthy 2020 that they are moving forward on. And right now it's the state of New Jersey. Next week we'll have more information for everybody. And we'll keep you updated on everything that's happening with this bill and as they happen throughout the states. Because, again, this is just the fourth state, and we have many, many more they have to accomplish.
Yes. And I want to quote here of a New Jersey mother who was saying that she's fighting tooth and nail alongside her peers to prevent these mandates from happening. She was also calm and collected, knowing that even with mandates, her children will not be vaccinated. She acknowledged they may be disappointed to leave their schools, and she may have to take on homeschooling, but she will not vaccinate her kids. Her words resonate with tens of thousands of parents in New Jersey and nationwide. Legislators believe parents will be forced into compliance, but most parents who have done their research or already have one or more vaccine-injured children will not succumb. I mean, these are people, like you said, whose children have been injured, who had perfectly healthy children, and as I said, parents are not stupid. I don't know why they think that parents are, but they know what their child is before they're vaccinated and how they behave and how they react to anything after they're vaccinated. So they actually see with their own eyes. Empirical evidence shows to them what actually is happening. And then they have the audacity to say, well, no, the vaccines did not cause that injury. The vaccines did not do this to your child, why they're behaving this way, that why they're acting out this way, or why they're becoming sick, or why they become getting autism and all kinds of diseases that follow it, ADHD and everything. It's almost like a roller coaster. And here you are as a poor parent trying to figure out, now what do I do? And then they have the audacity to try to tell them, well, it wasn't a vaccine that caused all these problems with your child.
That's right. And most parents, unfortunately, negligence? The problem is, and I can tell you this as a victim, most of us, you know, we give them way too much a position of trust. I mean, whatever they say, they sound smart. They talk this fancy doctrinese techno jargon language. They sound smart to the average person. So we trust them. And they don't even know. They don't believe in creation. They think they're taught evolution in medical school. Evolution. They think we came from apes, okay? So why having monkey viruses in a vaccine? Why would they think that's a problem if we derived from monkeys? I mean, that's what they believe. So they're not taught creation. They're not taught nutrition. Meanwhile, the Bible says the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nation, that vegetables are for the sick, and they don't even taught it. It's an elective class and has nothing to do with health as far as they're concerned. So it's oxymoronic. And as you mentioned before, you know, trauma is the only thing we endorse, because if you're in a car accident, you maim your face or you break your arm, we can't do anything for that. I mean, we help you reverse disease labels because we put oil in your engine opposed to snipping the wire to the blinking oil light. But when it comes to a trauma situation, if you have to turn to them, like I did with my daughter, for instance, although they did every mistake possible and ended up taking her life, so you're still risking your life by going to them. But if you are in a situation and you have to go to the emergency room, number one, tell them you have all the vaccines you need, because since the nurse whistleblower came out with the Affordable Care Act, she said they have to ask you if you've had them. If you say no, they must give it to you without your consent. So if you go to emergency room, make sure you say, I've got my, I have all the vaccines I need, or whatever you got to say. Don't lie. And then let them fix you and you know, bring you back to life or whatever situation you're in, and then come to us afterwards to help clean up the mess that they're going to do to save your life. and then of course, let's get you healthy and get your immune system, you know, running the way it was created to be used by our creator, like a broken arm or a cut in the finger. Our body, you know, knows what to do. And we're going to keep speaking it forever, for that matter. And I do want to announce real fast, Miriam, we're going to have to close. We'll continue on next week. Do you have any final words that you'd like to say before we hang up on this week's show?
Yes, people, do your own diligence. Don't let someone else speak for you. Speak for yourself.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And we'll talk to you next week, Miriam. Okay.
Thank you.
You are listening. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. You are listening to Vic Fellowship. Our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website, on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Our contact number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. And leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On radio show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth. And y'all bless.